No? So we thank you for accepting the appointment. Next case for argument is United States versus Krasinski. Mr. McGowan.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Andrew J. McGowan. I'm with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois. I represent Mr. Krasinski in this case. In this case, the District Court sentenced Mr. Krasinski before the Supreme Court decided Booker to a little bit more than 24 years under the mandatory guidelines. The District Court also imposed an alternative sentence if the guidelines were unconstitutional to 20 years. Because the District Court used the mandatory guidelines, this is an error. The government argues that there was no error, however, because the judgment in this case was entered after the Booker decision from the Supreme Court. The government appears to suggest that this court should assume that the sentence, because it was entered then, was in accordance to Booker. The government actually cites no case that supports this particular argument. And the record doesn't support it either. The only reason that the sentence was not entered before the Supreme Court decided Booker was that the judge took Mr. Krasinski's motion to withdraw his guilty plea under advisement and ruled on it after the Booker opinion came down. Because the record is silent about whether the judge reconsidered the sentence in light of the Supreme Court's decision in Booker, it is unreasonable to assume that the district court did anything in relation to Mr. Krasinski's sentence. The government has proposed an alternative suggestion of a limited Palladino remand. I don't think that's appropriate in this case either. I think the judge is very clear at the sentencing what he would have done had the guidelines not been mandatory.
So you're suggesting he has to remand for resentencing?
That's my request, Your Honor.
And given the fact that he gave an alternative sentence, that's possibility he would go below the guidelines. Is that what you're speculating?
Speculating. I think it's very likely that the judge will go under the guidelines. Of course, the judge's ruling on the 20 years was if the guidelines were unconstitutional. Booker opinion is slightly different than that, and I think it remains to be seen what the judge will do. However, I think the record is clear that the judge wanted to give Mr. Krasinski a lower sentence than he actually imposed. And if there are no questions, I would like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. McGowan. Mr. Mars.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. Good morning. My name is Mitchell Mars. I'm an assistant United States attorney here in Chicago. I represent the United States in this case and as one of the prosecutors in the proceedings below. The government's view, obviously, is that the defendant's appeal is premised on two faulty notions. One, that Judge Darragh's sentence was imposed with the idea that he had mandatory reliance on the guidelines. And secondly, that the judge would have imposed a lower sentence had he not been restricted by mandatory guidelines. I don't think the record supports either of those propositions. First, there was a stay in the proceedings with respect to the sentencing, not so much, or in fact not at all, with respect to holding off to see what would happen in Booker, but it was because of the defendant's inquiry or notion that he wanted to withdraw his guilty plea. And the judge announced the sentence in October, but stayed the entry and execution of it pending the resolution of the motion to withdraw the guilty plea. In the interim, we had Booker. I believe that was January 12th of 2005. And the judge then entered on the record the sentence, the guideline sentence that he had previously imposed. Counsel indicates that there is no right for the government to assume that the judge relied on the teachings of Booker. I disagree, first of all, for the legal reason we do cite in our brief, the Wilson case, in which Judge Flom, in his opinion, indicated that Article III judges are presumed to know the law. That case occurred in the context of a sentencing guidelines case, and the court further indicated that Article III judges are eminently aware of their ability to exercise their own discretion, and there should be no presumption that that was not done if there is a legal ability for the court to do so. So we have the Wilson case supporting our argument that Judge Darragh was fully informed of the Booker ruling. But I think, in addition, and just the strong practical point is, the Booker case was a case everybody was waiting for. The Booker case was perhaps the most anticipated ruling in the building, at least for those in the practice of criminal law, and certainly for judges that engaged in sentencing proceedings on a daily basis. It's unreasonable, and I would submit even impossible, to believe that Judge Darrow was not aware of the Booker decision. He certainly was aware of it. Everybody in this building was. And that practical fact, plus coupled with the holding in Wilson, entitles us to presume that Judge Darrow studied Booker. He entered the judgment on the sentence about 3 weeks after Booker, was aware of the teachings of Booker and what was required, including the fact that he no longer had or could rely in a mandatory fashion, but had to consult with the guidelines, and that he did just that.
Should we factor in Castro Juarez? Do you know Castro?
I'm not familiar with the case.
That's 425 F3rd 430 at 436. Wherein our court rejected the contention that pre-Booker departure considerations are an adequate substitute for post-Booker discretionary decisions. I guess my problem is that we know, I mean, everyone agrees that Mr. Krasinski preserved his Booker objection.
That's correct, Judge.
Yeah. And so, shouldn't a full Schlieffer remand rather than a Palladino remand be in order?
It's, Judge, this is not, we concede this is not a plain error case. But first of all, we are obviously arguing there was no error at all, but if there was, it was harmless, which is still something that the court can take into account. And I say harmless in the sense that in Schlieffer, I believe the teaching there is, in a sentencing context, that there is harmless error if the error did not affect the court's choice of sentence. And my argument to the court today is that that's exactly what happened. The judge imposed the 292 month guideline sentence before Booker, and then imposed the exact same sentence after Booker.
That's pretty puzzling, because what significance should we attach to the fact that he gave this alternative sentence of 20 years?
Judge, I attribute that strictly to the guidance that everybody was taking from this court's Booker decision, and that was, it's prudent in this situation, until the Supreme Court announces what it was going to do, to announce a non-guideline sentence. And
well, you'd think the judge would want to consider what Booker, of course, in a sense held the guidelines unconstitutional, and said that the judge has to consider the 3553A factors. So wouldn't you expect the judge to say something about that? Why the 292 months is better than the 20 years?
All I can tell you, Judge, is that in my view and the way the proceedings unfolded, the 20-year sentence announced was not the sort of sentence that we sometimes hear from judges who say, I wish I could give you a lower sentence under the guidelines, but I just can't, pre-Booker, of course. Mm-hmm. This was not that sort of announcement. It was, here are my findings for what the guidelines are. Here is my sentence. And then, basically, in accordance with the advice that we've been given by this court and Booker, in the event...
No, that doesn't make any sense. He could still say, if the guidelines are unconstitutional, still 292 months is within the statutory maximum.
Certainly
and
could.
And that's the sentence I like. Right?
He certainly could have, Judge. And
there's no reason why the alternative sentence has to be lower than the primary sentence, right?
Unless you're
so
right.
Wouldn't it be interesting to find out what his thought processes were, which he hasn't revealed to us?
I guess my argument, Judge, is that the 20-year sentence was probably imposed as an alternative, so it would
be... But it doesn't make any sense. because the one thing you knew that Booker wasn't going to do was hold the statutory maximum to be unconstitutional, right?
Correct.
So why would a judge think that the alternative sentence would be... The only logic would be if the judge said, look, if the guidelines are unconstitutional, that means I have discretion. And therefore, if I have discretion, I'd sentence this fellow only to 20 years. That's the only logical meaning of that alternative sentence. So that's, but then he goes ahead and imposes the 292 months. So how do we know what he was thinking? It doesn't make any sense. They don't go together.
I offer another logical position, Your Honor, and that is because it wasn't clear whether the guidelines were going to be thrown out altogether, as in the Blakely case, the judge perhaps wanted to give an alternative sentence that would be clear, was not in reliance in any way on guidelines that were...
All you have to do is say, look, 292 months is the guideline sentence, but if I had discretion, you know, I think it's a great sentence. I like the guidelines. They may not be mandated. The only issue in Booker was whether these guidelines are mandatory, not whether they are, you know, whether they're bad, bad rules don't make sense.
My response, Judge, is from the government's view, we should look to the sentence that was imposed and not the one that was not. The 292-month guideline sentence was imposed after Booker. I think probably that's the end of the analysis, provided the post-Booker procedures have been put into play. Those aren't really at issue here as far as the correct calculation of the guidelines. And with respect to the 3553 factors, while once again not specifically referred to during the course of the sentencing proceeding, factors that fit those 3553 factors were discussed by the judge, such as the defendant's clean record and failure to have prior convictions on the positive side for him, seriousness of the offense, the amount of the drugs, the fact that the drugs targeted younger folks, and that the people through legislatures indicated a need to have serious punishment for this crime are 3553 factors on the negative side. And so our argument, Judge, is if there was some error, if the court perceived some error in those implementing those post-Booker procedures, it's harmless because they roughly corresponded to what today a sentencing court would be required to do. So, Judge, we argue to the court that the sentence be affirmed outright, but if the court finds there is some error, it's harmless. In the alternative, and that is why we submitted the Rule 28 letter with respect to the Grigg case, there is a suggestion that if there's confusion as to what the judge had in mind, let's ask him as far as what he had in mind.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Morris. Mr. McGowan? It's time to
have...
Well, I have a question for you. I don't understand why there's he should be your client should be entitled to anything more than a Palladino remand, because as Mr. Morris said, it may be the judge, he thought about it, he read Booker, and he thought, well, you know, guidelines are reasonable, and 292, you know, I thought maybe they'd do something worse to the guidelines. That's why I said 20 years, but 292 months is fine. So that would be perfectly permissible.
Your Honor,
why,
if the record...
Why go through the rigmarole of a resentencing if the judge is content with his 292 months?
If the record had one iota of evidence that the judge did anything like that at all...
No. The question is, if he is now required to think about what is the appropriate sentence under the Booker regime... He may decide it is 292 months, or he may decide it's not. And if he decides it's not, then we remand for resentencing. But if he decides it's fine and consistent with 3553A, then we would affirm.
Your Honor, as a practical matter, I think the court is correct. However, under this court's prior rulings, when a preserved error is Blakely error, I'd call it at this point, is presented, it's a full remand unless the government can show that it's harmless error. And so under this court's precedent, I would suggest that the appropriate remedy would be a full remand. I think there's every likelihood to
But how do you know there's an error? I don't understand you. He imposed the 292 months after Booker, so how do we know there's any error?
Your Honor, the government keeps saying that the judge imposed the sentence after Booker. This judge imposed the sentence in October of 94, long before Booker was, the Supreme Court's decision was decided.
Then he stayed it.
He stayed it, and it became, as a matter of law, for purposes really of appeal, from what I can tell, under the final judgment rule, actually decided, or part something that can be appealed on January 24th, I believe, of 2005, which is a couple weeks after the Booker opinion. Of course, as this court's well aware, and in my experience, the judges in this court and in this building and in the Central District were overwhelmed at that point with cases that they had put aside for resentencing and scheduling matters. To think that this judge actually reconsidered a whole sentence is just beyond the realm of possibility.
What is your anticipation if it's a Palladino remand? The judge is simply going to say, yeah, I would have given a different sentence, and it would come back, and then we'd go through that rigmarole, and then...
I think it's every likelihood that that's what happened. That's what would happen if it were a Palladino remand. Okay. I think there's every likelihood that it'll get 20 years if it's a full resentencing.
Okay.
Well, but anyway, thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. And you were appointed, were you not? No, well, you're
Federal
a defendant. So anyway, we thank
you're
you either way.
Appointed.
Either way. Okay. I